Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted. This is a show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I'm actually broadcasting live from the 2019 Florida Writers Christian Conference. I come here every year, the last 3 years, and right now I have a very special interview with my older brother, Rick Whitted. How are you doing today, Rick?
Doing good, good. Good to be here, Sharvis, with you. It's been a busy week here at the Florida Christian Writers Conference.
It certainly has. My bed is calling me.
Yeah, mine too.
Right. You look like it, so do I. Well, again, I thank you for agreeing to interview with this show. And so lately, I've been thinking about musicians who serve in worship ministry. I've been in worship ministry, as you know, a very long time, third generation. And there's a very interesting trend, but it's a consistent trend of what many would call the gigging culture.
Gigging.
Gigging.
Interesting.
Yeah, almost like giggling.
Got it.
But the gigging culture, where musicians will not be planted in the church, but will move from church to church. Sometimes this can foster issues. Some of the issues can connect to their spiritual growth, among other things. And I read through your book again recently, Outgrow Your Space at Work, and I saw a connection between that issue and your book. But before we dive into that, can you just quickly tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So, you know, I am a author and a speaker and a workplace consultant. So I will typically go into an organization and talk about the emotional impact that our career has on us. Most of us don't realize it, but our careers are highly emotional. And that has to do with why and what we use our careers to do. We typically are using career to answer one important question: is my life moving forward? It's why when you talk to people, the first thing they ask you within a few minutes is, so what do you do?
Right.
And in that moment, what's happening is that you're being measured. Where are you in your life? Where are you in the progression of your life? And because statistically we spend more than 60 to 65% of our awake time on the stage of work is how I like to phrase that. But if you strip back everything we do, the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed what's known as the time usage survey, and it surveyed American adults between the ages of 25 and 54, and on average, nothing comes as close to almost 9 hours of work we spend in a work week. The next closest thing is 7 hours of sleep. Everything else falls in the 1 hour or less category. That's food, that's family, that's worship, that's everything. So because we spend so much time on the stage of work, we end up using work as a measure of where we are in life. It's why when things don't go right, you feel like, I got a gut kick. Like, why does this hurt so bad that I didn't get the job, that I got a no? Why does it hurt so bad that I didn't get the gig? That's because emotionally, we're not filtering, is my career progressing? Emotionally, what we're filtering subconsciously is my life moving forward? And no one wants to answer that in a no, or to think that life isn't moving forward. So I think you're right. There is a connection here. People who know me, I do my serving, my ministering in the workplace. So I don't get a chance often to express my faith as openly as in this particular context. But here's the truth. The content's the same. It's the same. You're talking about people and the work they do. It carries a much bigger bag than did I do a good job, but more so, you know, am I moving forward in life? Am I making progress?
Am I moving forward? Am I progressing? Those are very good points. So you being a person who sees a connection between what you just alluded to and ministry, How do you think that could be seen in a ministry context?
Oh, it's powder keg. It's even worse. I'm actually working with a client here soon that's it's a nonprofit, ministry-based type nonprofit. And the challenge you have, so take everything I just said and now spiritualize it. Now make it a God thing. And so you've just wrapped up this whole, is my life moving forward, bag of mess, emotional mess, and you threw on top of that, and it has to move forward in Jesus' name. That's what you just did.
Got heavy.
And so it is, I believe, and I'll find out soon, I do some consulting where I will tell you, I believe it is absolutely a powder keg. And you just took something that was already very emotional, very dynamic, even worse, most people aren't aware of this dynamic going on, and then you just spiritualized it. You made it a God thing. So it's a powder keg.
Wow. So we can already see that this issue, even though I would talk about musicians or creatives, it's not isolated to that. This Mm-mm. crosses over from the sacred realm to the secular realm, where we tend to, because work is such a large chunk of our lives, it comes to define our lives in deep ways. Am I progressing? Who am I? What is my identity? So do you think that could have a role in why possibly someone like a church musician may have difficulty, as you put it in your book, growing where he is or where she is and planting his roots? Could you speak to that?
I can. And I'll tell you, it's not separate. So whether your listener is a creative who is in worship ministry, the ministry of arts and design or dance, or whether they're a clerk at Target or at McDonald's or at a bank or wherever, it doesn't matter. Here's the raw stat. More than 3 million people quit their job every month. And that statistic has gone up, and it has been consistent for the past almost two decades. And you can find all of this information in the Bureau of Labor Statistics. When you look at the quote-unquote jobs report that you hear about every month on the news, that is the government assessing through channels how many people are entering the workforce, how many people are leaving the workforce, how many left voluntarily or they quit versus how many, you know, the job was eliminated or something to that point. And the statistic has been consistent. Every month, more than 3 million people quit their job. And so I've been hiring for almost two decades as a manager in the secular world. And I can see this on resumes. I mean, it looks like an Easter bunny. They're just hopping. And I can tell you, if any of your musicians and or creatives, that's this audience, look at your own resume. I can guarantee you that what you see is in about 18 to 36 months, you're asking the question, is this it? Should I be doing more? Is there something else I can be doing? Is there something else I should be doing? And so I call that the three-year itch, because about 2 to 3 years max, you're asking that question. And that may mean that you're managing your career, in this case, your career calling, you're managing it potentially in an emotional way. You're not looking at your core values and what values really motivate and move you and are you, and you're looking more at emotionally, where am I? And is this satisfying what I think I need in the moment? And I call that a short-term career decision. Very dangerous.
Wow, sounds very dangerous. So what just came to mind when you said that is Psalms 1, which talks about when a man plants himself firmly in the Word of God promises us that that man will grow, but he will grow in season. So when I read through your book again for the second time recently, you talked about some of the dangers. Sure, and we know there are some cases where you may need to make a career change and move. But let's move that to maybe some of the consequences for a person's growth in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I see often, Rick, is people, they're growing in their craft. Their hand is getting strong. But the deficit, which I think is connected to not being rooted and planted somewhere, getting consistent teaching, is that they're spiritually aren't growing. So could you speak to that for a second?
Well, you started that question about the dangers of that. And in the book, I use the analogy of a tree. I say, look at the largest tree in your community and look how wide the canopy of that tree, the top of that tree extends. And the truth is that the root system of that largest tree extends deeper and out further than the canopy. And so you cannot really begin to go up until you have first gone down very deep and wide. And most people don't want to go in the down direction. They want to go in the up, 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 up direction. And so if you are measuring your progression or your career based on, am I getting the next bigger thing and the next bigger thing and the next bigger thing and the next bigger thing, you're never going to take the time to dig deep and wide. And so what does that look like? Whether it's a ministry or you know, a 9-to-5 secular job, but let's stick with ministry here. What does that look like? It looks like you, after about, 6 months on the job, you're going, I figured this out. These people are a little crazy. It's not quite what I thought, but I figured it out. I'm going to really, really make it work. And after about 12 months, you're going, wow, I'm killing myself. You know, someone's got to recognize, right? It's going to happen, right? So I'm going to work a little bit harder, but someone's got to recognize. Coming about 18 months, you're going, like, why is nobody recognizing? Why am I not getting this? I asked for this. I should be having this by now. And why am I not getting it? Now entitlement is starting to settle in. And by month 24, it isn't, I'm going to try to work hard. It's, you owe me. I deserve this. I should have this. And then it gets worse. It's, you don't love me. And even worse in your case, and you're hindering my calling. And so you just, it's a powder keg waiting to explode. And between year 2 and year 3, you're looking to get out. You're trying to figure out where to go. And that is saying, like, particularly for someone in ministry, it's not about God. It's about you. Yeah. It's about furthering this crazy race to the top. Because we have come to only define promotion as up instead of defining promotion as depth and expansion. And when that happens, a person tends to overlook the ability to grow where they are because it really isn't about growing. It's just about climbing the ladder. And you hear that old concept of the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. There's no ladder. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in corporate. It doesn't exist here. First of all, just do raw math. 20 people at the bottom cannot all take the one top spot in one lifetime. It's just not possible. And people at the top don't move every 2 years. The top is the top. And so it's not statistically possible for everybody at the bottom to be at the top. And so we've got to get comfortable with two things. One, being patient. That sometimes it means I have to spend more time growing down here at the bottom. And for those of us that are over-spiritualizing it, then it might also mean that God needs you to grow deeper. You may need to take care of just a few more sheep. You may need to kill just a few more bears and lions with rocks and wait for your calling up. Wait for your call to go run a lunch errand into the war before God gives you your moment. That's what that may mean. And it may also mean that what's needed in the environment you're in takes more time than you've kind of anticipated for yourself. But the truth of the matter is our job as leaders, no matter what the job is to leave a place in much better condition than when we found it. We have to. And when we don't do that, that means our eye isn't on the place at all. Our eye's on us. And so when I get ready to move, I'm moving because what I want's not occurring. And when what I want is not happening, what we tend to do more than anything is start the blame game. Well, it's because they don't love me. It's because they don't value me. It's because they don't care. And I'm out of here. The truth of the matter is if your grass ain't green, you're probably not watering it enough. Mm. And if you're catching some bad stuff, if you're catching manure, then here's what you need to understand. That's how grass grows.
That's right.
It grows through manure. And so sometimes the Lord allows us to go through struggles and trials and challenges and difficulties because the things we hate the most are typically things that are pushing us beyond our limit. And it's very uncomfortable to be pushed, particularly beyond your limits. And so I think that's some of the danger, to answer your question. We get so self-focused. Now, how is that even more dangerous in this field of work, in this serving and ministry? It's more dangerous because people are following you. And you can be gifted, and people will follow the gift because it makes room for you.
That's right.
They'll follow the gift. But as a ministry leader, you're charged with more than getting people to follow you. You're charged with getting people to follow Christ.
That's right.
So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. One thing you alluded to that really stuck with me is that, in a sense, in Christ, we should be growing down. We should be getting more humble, more out of ourselves. And it's so easy to get into that seat of victimhood. Mm-hmm. I'm the victim. I'm not valued. And I think that stems back to how we started this discussion, to where we begin to define ourselves by the work. Instead of defining ourselves by where we stand with Christ and where we stand with God, which in turn is why we need to take the time to grow. So I would like to end the show. Can you give my creative audience some of the benefits? What happens when you make the decision, okay, this is difficult, this is hard, but I'm not going to be impulsive. I'm going to stay where God has planted me. I'm going to grow. I'm going to fight these bears. I'm going to fight these lions. So I'm ready for the Goliaths that come. What are some of the benefits? Give us a few benefits that you've seen in your career that can be translated to the ministry context.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll tell you, it's hard to answer that question without sharing what I call four core values. I think people define progression or promotion differently. Just most people don't know it. But when you figure out this is what progression feels like, looks like to me, for some people that's going to be mentorship and growth and growing in their skill. And you might be in a place where you've got a great mentor and they are there to deposit something in you that you really need, you're deficient in. Most static occurs when someone recognizes our deficiency and they start peeking in the curtain of our deficiency and challenging us to grow a little bit. And so you may have a lead pastor who is really good with detail, and you're very creative, but you're not great with detail. You're all vision. And that person is challenging you to be more detailed. Well, that's going to feel like the crucible. But the truth of the matter is you may be getting exactly the training. That's a bear that you're willing not to learn to slay, but you're ready to go to Goliath's house.
That's right.
And that's dangerous. That's really, really dangerous. So mentorship and growth and development may be your core value, but you're ignoring it for position, to be in a bigger position. That is one of the core values, but it's not most people's core value. It's what most people chase. Or the money, which I call pay. The other one is what I call personal satisfaction, this idea of is there meaning in the work I do? Or is there balance in my life with what I do? And so any of those pay, position, personal security, personal satisfaction could be your core value. If you're chasing the wrong one, if you're just chasing pay or position, it's likely you're going to miss the value adds that God has for you.
Wow, that's great information. Well, we're running out of time. So before we end the show today, I know that you have a few helpful resources that could help my audience. Could you share those resources with
sure.
us?
Sure. Just go to rickwhitted.com, RickWhitted.com, and everything's there. My book, Outgrow Your Space, you can find it there. There's a link to the Career Wit Assessment. That's the word career, WHITT.com. There you can take that assessment and find out what's my core value, and then also answer the question, am I really making career decisions based on that core value, or am I tempted to make my decisions based on a more of an emotional driver?
Sounds great. Well, Rick, thank you again for joining us on Heart of the Psalmist, and we're the better for it. God bless you, and I hope you can visit us again in the future.
Absolutely. Great being on here.
All right, great. Take care.